from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, along with Jacob Albrecht. Good morning to you, Jacob.
Hey, Tommy, how are you? Welcome in on a Friday. TGIF. It is a very exciting Friday because we get, well, exciting in both maybe a nervous way. I feel like it's an exciting and nervous time for the Royals right now. I feel like it's an exciting and nervous time to navigate through the second preseason game of the NFL season and try to survive it almost. But we've got a lot coming up for you, and we're excited about it. We've got a big charity event coming up this weekend that Tommy and I will be a part of. Hopefully we see some of you folks out there for that. It is a good time, and it's a good time to get in touch with the program as well, which you can do on the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP, by the way. Excited to bring back all-you-can-eat pancakes through September 15th. We mentioned this yesterday, and maybe we can get one of these today. So if you listen to us on the Odyssey app, there's a little microphone on that home screen where you can essentially send us a voicemail or send us like a voice message that we can either, you know, read out over the air. Jad can play it over the air. So if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, try that feature out. It's pretty cool, I think. We haven't had one yet, but we you know, it snuck up on us. So it's there. It's available for you. Appreciate those listening to us on KFH. If you're watching us on 12 News Connected on Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can leave us your comments there as well. Glad to be here with you, Tommy. How's your Thursday? Everything good? We ready to rock and roll into the weekend?
Yeah, ready to go this weekend. Busy weekend for you and I. We've got a lot that we're a part of this weekend with the All Ball weekend benefiting Shepherd's Way. That starts tonight. Tim Tebow at the Crown Uptown, a charity softball game tomorrow that we'll be a part of. So a lot to do this weekend, but looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to the Royals getting back at it. The Rangers, my Rangers let the Royals down last night by letting Minnesota get a late inning win. So no ground gained on their game off, a day off to the Twins, who are, you know, the most direct team ahead of them. But behind them, we had Boston lose, Seattle lose. So they're both on losing streaks. So you come into now this Friday of getting back into action, the Royals 2.5 games of the Red Sox ahead. Seattle blew another one. They're 3.5 games back. Seattle, I don't know how much people are paying attention to Seattle. It is criminal how they're not supporting that starting pitching. And their starter yesterday, Bryce Miller, took like a 2-0 lead through the seventh inning, and they blew it again. But they just cannot get any offense. So if you're the Royals, kick them while they're down a little bit here, Tommy, because they may get hot at any point. If their offense wakes up, they're going to win a ton of games all at once. But they're 3.5 games back, so Boston's 2.5, and the Royals enter the day 2 games back behind Minnesota, 6 games back of Cleveland, but in pretty good position, I would say, for a team who's lost 6 out of their last 10 games. So now we look at it as, okay, you've lost 6 out of your last 10, 4-6 over that stretch. Now you enter a stretch where you have got to be better. And we talk about this all the time, and it's becoming more and more apparent for the Royals. I mean, the formula for them to get to the postseason, Tommy, is to beat up on bad teams. It's not just the formula for them. It's formula for a lot of these teams in the mix. Cincinnati is not bad, but they're a game under 500. They're not good. It's on the road. You'd really like to win that series. And you go up against 3 good starting pitchers in that series. That'll be pretty tough. Then you get the 3 against the Angels at home. And, you know, that's a series you've got to take advantage of, but you're going to have to lean into your starting pitching there. Because after that, Tommy, you get, and listen to the stretch of the schedule. We haven't really looked this farther ahead than the next 6. It's Philadelphia, 4 at Cleveland, 4 at Houston, Cleveland for 3, Minnesota for 3, and then at New York before you get to games against Pittsburgh, who's not terrible, but you want to talk about a stretch. What is that? 9, 13, 17, 20 straight games against playoff teams. 20 straight games against playoff teams. You better beat up on the bad teams when you got a chance, because in a best case scenario, based on what we've seen this year in those 20 games, you're winning half of them. And that's probably, that's glass half full based on what we've seen this year. So while you have a little cushion, and I haven't looked at what the other teams in the wild card have coming up either. They may also have tough schedules. I don't know that. I just know what the Royals have. Better win these, a lot of them, and you better build on that cushion and hope that that cushion can sustain you through that 20-game stretch. That is brutal. It's as brutal as they've had this year in that stretch. Just while we're looking at it here, they will have, Tommy, they'll get a day off before it begins, and then they get one day off in that 20 games. Am I looking at that right?
No, you are. They get a day off next week, I think, next Thursday, I believe, is the next one. And then I think that it's just straight through until mid-September.
There's the way one in there. Yeah, there's out. One. Yeah. It's like on September 8th or September 5th. So they get in a 20-game stretch while you're in it, they will have, my goodness. I mean, that is nuts, man. One day off against those teams.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough.
It's a lot. It is a lot. It's a tall task in front of the Royals. And I think that once you get through the end of the season, if you know, you take a look back at the stretch of games and really breaking up the season into manageable chunks, you take a look at this stretch of games, you take a look at the stretch before the All-Star break when they were playing a bunch of teams that were under 500 and not being able to take advantage of those games quite as much. Now, I'm not suggesting that that's what ultimately is going to happen, that we're going to take a look back and see where the season, you know, failed the Royals or the Royals failed the season, but they really haven't, outside of, you know, series that they played against the White Sox, they haven't really taken major advantage of stretches of their schedule where they played relatively softer teams. That really hasn't happened quite as much. At least they haven't dominated those teams in the way that you would expect. And this current stretch right now is part of that. I know that obviously they just played Minnesota and that's not a softer team by any means, but you go back to them playing teams like the Rockies and the Diamondbacks and the Cubs and, you know, other teams like that, where they really weren't fully able to take advantage of that schedule. I think that, you know, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite the Royals, because as you mentioned, I mean, I wholeheartedly agree. They're entering into a stretch of baseball that's going to be tough for a variety of reasons. Number one, the strength of the teams that they're playing against, first and foremost. But number two, the time of year it is, you're getting down to the wire. Each game means that much more. Fatigue sets in. It's, you know, that lack of days off in that stretch. It's going to be a grind for Kansas City, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they manage that once they get through this Red Series this weekend and then the Angels series.
And the other thing is, too, in that mix of brutality is that you get a bunch of games against the Twins and the Guardians. So, you know, we talk about it all the time. Those series are nerve-wracking because if they go way awry, it can kill you in the standings. But it can do the opposite. You know, if you win them all too, like you can have the opposite effect. And that's also exciting. That's what I mean. Like kind of off the top, where like it's a very, you know, exciting time, but nervous time. The Royals are very much, to me, a nerve-wracking. And again, this enhances the experience. This is why it's so much fun. And I love it. Competitive baseball like this, but they're not, you know, a team that can just coast on into the postseason. It's going to be a battle to get there. And we know that. And that's why we're, you know, paying in so close attention to what the starters are doing and any trends there. You want to talk about a good opportunity for Michael Lorenzen to really come in and establish like why the Royals go get him. Get this series off to a good start. Can they start a series here where it doesn't feel like they're desperate for a win by the end of it? Can they set themselves up to, you know, on a nice stretch here on this six games? Can they win 5 out of 6? Can they win 6 out of 6? Can they do something special like that? Lorenzen gets the first shot at it, and that'll be, you know, I think he's geared for that kind of thing. It's, you know, it's not, there's 162 games. We get it. There's 2 months left to go, month and a half left to go. We get it. But it does, the things that happen each individual day matter to all of it. And I just, that is, I cannot imagine any of the other playoff teams, at playoff contenders, Tommy, have that sort of stretch left to go. The good news is after that. So after that stretch, and we're looking way out ahead right now, but after that stretch, so Pittsburgh has really fallen off lately, and that's the team that you come out of it with. You'll go Pittsburgh, Detroit, San Francisco, Washington, Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's bad, obviously. Atlanta's good. But the rest of those teams are teams you feel like you should beat, right? Washington, San Francisco's right at 500. They're not bad, but they're not great. Like, they do end, as bad as that 20-game stretch is, they get about 12 or so games before that Atlanta series where they'll have a chance to sort of recover a little bit. But, man, it doesn't matter if all of a sudden you're 5 games back or something catastrophic out of that series. Houston is probably going to stay hot at this point, don't you think? Like, Houston's going to start to separate, I think, a little bit from Seattle. But Seattle is a team, to me, that could get white hot of the teams in the chase. I don't know about Boston. And Boston's interesting. But I think they've stuck in it, and they were fairly aggressive at the deadline. So probably. But it's, you know, it's that Seattle-Houston dynamic that scares me just a little bit. One of them's obviously getting in, but I do think they've got the kinds of rosters to go nuclear and win a ton of games down the stretch. And that's the danger for the Royals. You got to make sure one of those, if that happens, that you don't get passed up, even if you do go 500 down the stretch. In that 20 games, Tommy, I'd be ecstatic if they went 10 and 10 over that 20 game stretch.
With the competition that they're going to be facing in that 20-game stretch, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. But, and anything above that is a gift.
But if they do, like, that's what I mean. Like, that's why it's so interesting. If they do, and Houston or Seattle, which I think are both capable of this, because I think they both have really, really good top-to-bottom rosters, that, you know, that may not be good enough. So, long story short, it emphasizes the urgency to win a bunch of these next 6 games to build your cushion up, because I think they're going to need that cushion for those 20 days.
And how many times do people say, I mean, I've said it all the time, that the Major League Baseball season is a marathon, not a sprint? Well, you're in the period of the season where it is a sprint.
It becomes, you know, looking,
it becomes one at this point in the year, and especially in the position that the Royals are in right now. It is a sprint to the finish. It's not a marathon anymore. You know, and it's been really easy to say, all right, Royals, like in this last series with the Twins, okay, you drop the first two. You know, you win the third one, you lose the series overall, but yeah, you still feel pretty good about where the Royals are. At least they didn't get swept. Well, no, you're in a period now where like every single game absolutely is crucial. They've got 42 games in the next 45 days. So it is 100% a sprint for Kansas City. And you know, so I think that the players' mentality, they clearly know that going into it. You mentioned getting off to a good start in the series this weekend. That's paramount. They have lost the first game in their last three series. Before that, they had won the first game in the last seven. So clearly the trend has become for them to drop the first game of the opening series most recently, but they've got to get off to a good start this weekend against the Reds. They've got to get off to a good start next week against the Angels. That's so important for them. So their backs are not up against the wall in the finale of each series when they're, you know, trying to claw their way to at least, you know, getting one game out of the entire set.
So here's the good news. Boston, in that same six games that the Royals, you know, play the Reds and the Angels, and you feel like they need to win a ton of them, play on the road, Baltimore and Houston. That's great news. Then it doesn't, then it's much softer during the 20 games where the Royals go and face it. They'll have series against Arizona, Toronto, Detroit, the Mets, the White Sox in that same stretch. So that's cushion building right there. If you don't think Boston's going to win a bunch of games in Baltimore or Houston, and I don't think, you know, I don't think that they will. I mean, they could, but you know, the odds are lower. Then okay, you got to go in now, right, and win a bunch of games over the next six. Build that cushion up a little bit. And then you go to Seattle. Seattle's stretch over the home stretch is not nobody's that I've seen is as difficult as the Royals, but Seattle's is probably somewhere in the middle. Not great, not bad. Seattle in that same stretch, they do get three games at LA. Now they get three against Pittsburgh first, but they do have to go to LA for three over the six games that we're talking about coming up for the Royals. So you could potentially get another couple of games. You know, I think that's probably the goal, right, is to get a couple of games now, more distance between you and those two teams. If you're the Royals, you're going into that stretch right now. You're 2.5 and 3.5 games up. What if it's 4.5 and 5.5? Don't you feel a whole lot better? So, look, urgency. It's fun. I enjoy. This is not a panic opening. It's all of these games matter a ton. This is why playoff baseball like this is the dadgum best, because it does every stinking day. It gives you a reason to watch. The Rangers have fallen out of it. I was locked into that game last night just to try to see the Twins lose a game for the Royals' sake. You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, as we sit in these dog days, as we're all just like slamming our head against the wall waiting for football, at least most of us, it is very nice to have competitive baseball. We haven't had it in a long time. Royals get going tonight. It's Lorenzen tonight, and they'll face three pretty good starters in this series, but we'll get more into the specifics of that game, this series, any betting opportunities as we make our way through. All the baseball coverage you're hearing presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. We've got a giveaway coming for you a little later in the program. We'll give you away some HTO. So stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. Lots coming, including Chiefs camp. It's done. St. Joe portion out of the way. Now they're home for the second preseason game where we'll see the starters. And then that's pretty much it. Then it becomes all about the Ravens. Camp takeaways, what we expect this weekend. We'll get into all of that. Plus Patrick Mahomes' preferences on pizza. I don't know. Jad's telling me he has Mahomes pizza content here. So we'll have that in the next segment for you as well. That's coming right back on Sports Daily. Don't go away. All right, Chad, what do we have on Mahomes pizza here? I didn't catch this yesterday, and I went through that audio, but I missed this. What did Mahomes have to say about St. Joe pizza as we wrap up camp?
Well, basically, he's just talking about a he's talking about kind of a ritual that he enjoys, something around, you know, players going to get pizza at certain places and, you know, treating some of his linemen to some pizza. And it was something that he brought up in a press conference, and I found it kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I'm curious about the dynamic of having your camp like that, Tommy, and hanging out in dorm rooms. And I gotta think, like, if I put myself in that same scenario, you want to talk about team building. I mean, it has to, doesn't it? Like, to separate. I like that they do that. I like that they do that, because once you get into the season, it is so robotic, it feels like, for these guys, and you just don't have time for any of that. It's almost like you force it, but it's a necessary thing for these teams. And it's pretty interesting to see guys, especially guys like Mahomes, who have now done it so many times, and there is so much consistency, still value that kind of stuff out of a training camp.
Yeah, think about somebody like Travis Kelce, for example, who jet sets around the world with the biggest pop star on the planet and, you know, all these luxury accommodations. And then he moves into a dorm room for a month, you know, right after coming off that international tour from Taylor Swift. So a little bit of a different world that, you know, he enters into whenever he goes to St. Joe. But I do think that it's important. And the teams that I think that, you know, they're spending all this quality time together and all of that, it does build team culture, you know, to an extent. That's why I think that, you know, things like that, that doesn't get paid attention to nearly as much as the reps in game and the familiarity in game in the preseason that these teams, you know, end up having with one another. That's important. Don't get me wrong. But I think spending, you know, each waking moment with the guys that are at least in your part of the team, that's crucial, because you're separated from the rest of the world for the most part. It's kind of like, you know, to use kind of a cheesy analogy, it's kind of like the Remember the Titans movie, right? Like, they don't get along, and then they go off on a bus to camp and they live together for a while, and they, you know, end up becoming really, really close and really tight. So I do think that that sort of thing is important for the Chiefs. I like the way that they do that. I think it also minimizes distractions too. And so I'm on board with the way they do that.
Yeah. And then you try to take away, like, okay, so what do we take away from training camp? And it's hard, because all we want to focus on is the health of players, right? Did everybody stay healthy? And I do think that is ultimately what ends up being the most important thing out of the early part of the season. But so much other stuff, we're so focused on like a bird's eye view of things, when in reality, I think it's an important time. It is such a critical time, because again, like, this is it. This is all you really get. After Saturday, like, they go into game prep for Baltimore, and that's it. So, like, yeah, they can install.
There's another preseason game that they'll play.
They don't treat it that way for the starters. They'll go through the motions and play some backups and do that. I mean, they'll do the game, but Patrick Mahomes is preparing for Baltimore on Sunday. You know what I mean? Like, that part of the process begins. So this is it. And Andy Reid talks about all the time. And look, I know coach speak happens all the time too, but he is a big proponent of the conditioning to make it through the season happens in training camp. And it's almost like a college camp or a high school two-a-day camp type thing. Like, this is where they physically get ready, because now it's all like a mental exercise. And then you just try to stay healthy and rehab your body. So it's done. I mean, they're in the books. I think, you know, Andy Reid seemed pleased with the developments. Mahomes yesterday, as I'm going through his stuff, the really interesting part is, you know, he felt like that day, and again, I'm trying, you know, some of this you just have to take a grain of salt. Patrick Mahomes famously has admitted to just like saying generic things that don't really mean anything. But his takeaway was the competitive, not the competitive nature as much as, like, he said there were days the offense clearly won and there were days the defense clearly won. And he thinks that that's a good thing. And we'll see it all, you know, we'll see it all play out in a couple of weeks. On what? How far are we away from that? September 5th, 3 weeks now, 3 weeks from yesterday. Is that right? That sound right? Yeah.
Three weeks. Yeah.
So we get there. Training camp's done. It's in the books. I think all things considered, it sounds like the Juwan Taylor injury is not serious, although he's not going to play tomorrow. But it sounds like that's not a serious injury. So in totality, we've really looked at it, and we've got a game to play, knock on wood. But if you make it out with Hollywood Brown potentially missing week one as your only major injury at a training camp, would there have been plenty of scares for the Chiefs? There have been plenty of scares for every team across the NFL. That's probably a win, Tommy. Like, that's probably from our bird's eye look and not knowing the intricacies of it. I think we'd probably chalk that up as a win if they can make it through Saturday without any significant injury.
Yeah, you can kind of catch your breath a little bit. But of course, the game tomorrow, for me, it's going to be nerve wracking because, you know, they're not going to have Juwan Taylor playing in the game, even though they avoided serious injury with him. Andy Reid said he won't play in the game tomorrow. It looks like, Wanya Morris returned to practice this week. So I don't know what the reps are going to look like between him and Kingsley Suamataya at left tackle. And then, of course, Joe Tooney is still probably not 100%. He's working his way back. He'll probably be okay, but still, I think that that's a critical, for sure, piece of the puzzle for the Chiefs. And knowing all of that, that does make me a little bit more cautious on the way that I would play those starters this weekend. I know that Andy Reid is famous for saying they're going to play a full half and then that doesn't happen. So I'm not holding my breath that they will. I would just be a little bit more cautious about the starters tomorrow. I know, again, that argument about game reps and familiarity and all of that. But just with the way that that offensive line has been banged up, absolutely you want to get through the entire preseason with Hollywood Brown being the only injury of concern for the Chiefs into the regular season. I think to do that, you have to be a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, it's just hold your breath. They're going to play. They're going to play. Some of them are going to play. They probably won't play as much as they said they would, and they're going to play. Got to hold your breath. This is the way the Chiefs always do it. I do think it means something for a lot of them. And I do think that they think it needs to be done because they continue to do it. So we'll see. They're going to play you just got to play. You got to play football. You got to play football.
Yeah. And I'll tell you too, my focus, I don't really want my focus to be on holding my breath to make sure the starters don't get injured.
Right.
I would rather my focus in this game tomorrow and the final preseason game to focus on those players that could provide depth for the Chiefs and who's going to make the roster, who's going to get cut. How are they going to build this team up when we get to the final 53-man roster when it's all said and done? That's how I'd prefer to spend the time going into the game tomorrow and next weekend. And there'll be some of that once the starters get out of the game. But yeah, you just kind of have to cross your fingers and just get through the period of time that Andy Reid wants to play that first line. And then from there, you can really focus on the other stuff.
Yeah, it's Juwan Taylor is the perfect example for me. Juwan Taylor got hurt in practice, right? So to me, and this is where I sort of live with it, what's the difference? He got hurt in practice. It's just it's basically like in July and August, you just don't want to see players hurt. But he left practice, right? We've seen countless players now, Chris Jones, all of these things, they're happening in practice. The Hollywood Brown injury happened in the game, sure. But more injuries have happened in practice. So I just hate this time of year in general. To me, it doesn't really matter if it's a game or whatever. The reps are going to have to happen at some point to get ready for a season. So whether they're in practice or they're in camp, they're more intensive now than they will be starting next week. And so one more day of this, basically, and let's just see if they can get through.
And look, I think I get what you're saying. My follow-up to that, though, is, Juwan Taylor, yes, gets injured in practice, leaves practice. Now you don't have your starting right tackle for the preseason game tomorrow, which means, in theory, the offensive line is weaker to protect Patrick Mahomes in the game tomorrow.
Totally. Yeah, so
I'm going to be more concerned about Patrick Mahomes in the game tomorrow.
Correct. And that I'm guessing here, but I would guess that's why we don't see the starters actually play for a full half, right? They're going to get through what they need to get through, and then they're probably going to get out. And that is a factor. But I think when we look at just the totality of it, let's just hope they go through one more. You can, and that's, it's hard. And we do this every year, we second guess these decisions, but they got to play football, and it's just an injury risk sport. So hopefully we get some great reps out of the two rookies that are look like they're going to be starters now in Kingsley Suamataya and Xavier Worthy, and they get the reps they need to get, and then they can get everybody the hell out of there and get ready for Baltimore with Hollywood Brown being the only significant. Again, that's a win. Like, if that happens, go look around the league at the players that are banged up, nicked up, hurt right now. If the Chiefs can get to that point, that's a win for training camp, a big win.
It's also been interesting to see who the recipient of the Hollywood Brown injury in the wide receiver room has really been throughout training camp. I mean, since last week when Brown went.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Down with that injury, I think that there was a ton of speculation about, would there be one wide receiver that would end up getting more snaps and more work and more reps? Really, it's been Justin Watson, and that's not overly surprising. You know, Justin Watson was, kind of the safety blanket a little bit for Patrick Mahomes last year. He's got a ceiling on what he can do and what his talent level is, but there is a level of trust between him and Mahomes, and he's kind of, by all accounts, slid into not really the role that Hollywood Brown is expected to have with the Chiefs offense, but he's really kind of been getting more of the first team reps and that sort of thing. I think that's interesting for a number of reasons, primarily because there are a handful of other wide receivers that are further down the depth chart that really haven't been the recipient of any additional reps or snaps in training camp. And so we'll see if that turns, you know, carries over into the game tomorrow or not. You got Sky Moore out there. You got Mecole Hardman out there. You got Kadarius Toney out there. I think between those three guys specifically, for sure one of them will not be on the final roster. I don't know if it'd be up to maybe as far as like two of them. That might be too much. And I think out of the three, it's probably going to be Kadarius Toney. If anybody's going to get cut, it's probably going to be him.
You think Toney's getting cut or Sky Moore?
No, I think out of those three, it's probably going to be Kadarius Toney, in my opinion.
Toney Moore, who's the third?
Hardman. I think out of those three, it's going to be Toney.
Really?
Have you not heard Andy Reid talking about Kadarius Toney during training camp? I mean, he's been, and Andy Reid is, you know, like you mentioned before, pretty good at not saying a whole lot about different things and just giving kind of generic answers. He's been fairly honest about Kadarius Toney and talking about what they have to see from him if he wants to continue on this roster. I know they gave up what they gave
up. Yeah, Matt Nagy called it. Matt Nagy called him out. I didn't see Andy Reid. I saw
Andy Reid did too. Yeah, Andy Reid did too.
I saw Nagy. Look, they're sick of his lack of availability. I get it, but
inconsistency just in general.
I would be pretty surprised. I would be pretty surprised.
I wouldn't.
If they cut Tony.
Why would, I mean, because you have to find a role for him, and I just don't know what that role
is. I get that. As a return man, though, and maybe you don't need him in Hardman, I'm not sure, but what role does Sky Moore play? What's interesting about, and this is, apparently, Justin Ross has probably had his best camp, but it's like the beats have sort of moved off of that story, so nobody's really talking about it. But there are people that are watching practices that I've seen say, like, this is the best Justin Ross has actually looked. We're not talking about him anymore because we're sort of over that story. But that's an interesting thing to watch, too. And that's where we get into these final two preseason games. You'd have to imagine that's an actual battle. And the thing that's what Kadarius Toney has been called out for is because he's not going to, you know, they got to get him back on the field to see what he's got.
Toney didn't play a single snap in the first preseason game.
And he's probably, I still don't think he's even practicing yet. Is he?
Out of the entire wide receiver room, he is the one that needs the reps probably more than anybody else, because I think he's got to try to
work his way back. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But he didn't even get on the field in the first preseason game. So that's why it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, when the roster cuts actually happen, if he's one of them.
It would surprise me, but I suppose it's on the table if he doesn't come back at all in the camp. He's his injury thing. He's a pain in the butt, man. Austin asks, speaking of receivers, do we think there's a reason they wouldn't go after Juju? Maybe because the Brown injury is not as bad. Yeah, I would say that Rashee Rice is a better version of what Juju did for the offense is probably the biggest reason. I don't think that would be what they need necessarily. Juju obviously has a fond place in Chiefs fans' heart because he helps them win a Super Bowl when they had to have it. But I do think stylistically that Rashee Rice is just better than Juju at the thing that Juju does at this point. But I also think, to the second part of your question there, Austin, yeah, I think the Chiefs aren't insanely worried about the Brown injury. The Brown injury was a freak injury. If Hollywood Brown had injured something that has plagued him, like if it was a foot or leg injury, which has been what's kept him off the field over the course of his career, I think that's where the Chiefs would be far more concerned. The injury that happened to Brown would literally happen to any player if they were tackled that way. Like, that was a freak thing. Like, any player is going to break their collarbone when they're tackled like that. It doesn't happen all that often. When it does, you get a broken collarbone. It happens, I think, to quarterbacks probably the most often, not necessarily that it stabbed him or whatever the other part of that was, but the broken collarbone thing, it's when guys get both arms wrapped and driven to the ground. It just happens. And so I don't think they're terribly concerned about the Hollywood Brown injury, because it's not related to the injuries that have kept him off the field. When he heals from that, he's going to be back, right? And there's not really like a gray area there. The gray area is the injury risk moving forward, but it's not like a soft tissue injury or something that you could just see like lingering, or Kadarius Toney, who's, you never know. I think they feel like Hollywood Brown's going to be back and he'll be fine, you know, whether it's week one or week two or whatever. So yeah, I don't think there's an urgency to go find. I mean, Hunter Renfro's out on the line. I think he'd be a better fit.
And I was gonna say, like, I think another reason on that is that if they were going to go sign a free agent wide receiver, I don't think they will. But if they did, there are still better options that are out there on the street than Juju. And I'm a Juju fan. I've always liked Juju. I was excited when he was in Kansas City. Yeah. I thought he did a fine job overall. Yeah. I was probably higher on him in Kansas City than you were at the time.
Well, there was a time where I thought he was a perfect fit for Kansas City. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think he was like overly talented when he was there, but he was nails, man. He's not the same player he was when he was very young, but he still helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah, Hunter Renfro is still out there. I'm not suggesting that, any of these guys I'm about to mention are a good fit, and they wouldn't go sign anybody anyway, I don't think. But Michael Thomas is still a free agent. Julio Jones is still a free agent. Like, there are a handful of wide receivers that are still out there that are veteran, that if the Chiefs really, if that Hollywood Brown injury was severe and it looked like it was going to keep him out for multiple games or, God forbid, an entire season, then there are, I still think, better options that are free agents right now than Juju if they were going to go find somebody.
I agree. But I appreciate the thought. And again, I do think Austin's correct. I just don't think they're that worried long-term about the Hollywood. They should probably be worried in the short term because the Ravens added Derrick Henry, and man, I just feel like that's a perfect fit. And I think the Ravens are very dangerous. Why are we not talking about the Ravens? They were the best team in the regular season last year in the AFC. They added Derrick Flippin' Henry to come out of the shotgun like that. Like, it seems like a perfect fit. And I know he's older, but man, Ravens are looking good. Really wish Hollywood Brown. Maybe he still can. Mitch Holthus had a good point, though. It makes sense to sit him week one, but they might need him. Week one's going to be, woo, that's going to be a good game. All right, we'll talk more about that in the second hour. We'll come back, make our way through some of the other headlines here. More on the Royals as well. Your calls, your comments. Appreciate Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up with some great coffee at the Odyssey family every morning. All the hosts and fine folks there at Odyssey always able to get a good cup of Prairie Fire Coffee. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily. Let's set up a giveaway here for you. If you want to win some HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors, it is buy one, get one free day today and every Friday in August to celebrate back to school. You can get a free one, though, on us. And you can get a free rain coffee, iced hot. I can tell you I have had a preview of the fall lineup that's coming out. And if you're a coffee drinker, I think you're going to love it. Some really, really cool stuff and flavors that sound amazing. But more on that when that happens, probably the end of the month or so. Anyway, you can win a free rain coffee, a free HTO iced tea right now for any of the Wichita Metro locations, either east or west in Wichita or in Derby, by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. That's T to the short code 20357. Good luck, everybody. Message and data rates apply. Tommy, did you see this happen yesterday? At least the story came down. Major League Baseball toying with the idea of putting mandatory six inning, it's a restriction on a starting pitcher. There are caveats, you know, if they give up four runs or few or more, they can be pulled. If there's an injury, they can be pulled, although they would have to go on the IL in that scenario. You want to talk about changing the dynamic of baseball. Now, I would imagine, and I haven't looked outside of this initial, like, this is a, you know, an idea or whatever, I would imagine there will be people with pitchforks and all of those things, but isn't it wild how baseball went from we will never change anything to the last decade of we're willing to change everything. And by the way, almost everything they've changed has made the game better. You National League, you know, honks might think the DH being there is not good. It's a good thing. Adding a playoff team is a good thing. Getting rid of the shift, good thing. Pitch clock, good thing. Reviews, good thing. All of these things that people before they were done were mad about have ended up being massively helpful to the sport. I'm not giving an endorsement to this, by the way, but I'm also not going to overreact at the initial idea of it. I want to know why. I want to know, I'm glad baseball's at least willing to evolve these days.
I can tell you why. It's pretty easy. It's because Major League Baseball wants the starting pitcher to be like the quarterback in the NFL, where like it's the centerpiece of a team. That's the way that it used to be. You had starting pitchers that it was very rare that they didn't go deep into a game. You think of like some of the greats from when we were growing up and the Nolan Ryans of the world and the Greg Maddoxes of the world and the Randy Johnsons of the world and Roger Clemens. And like those guys were superstars. There aren't as many superstar pitchers as there used to be. And a lot of it is because a lot like the usage isn't nearly as high and because of the injury risk. And we now know about the number of innings and pitches thrown by pitchers and what it does to a player's arm and that sort of thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to overreact to this either. And the reason I'm not going to overreact to it is because it will never happen.
Not
like
that
the story
way.
Is interesting, but it will simply. Never happen because because keep in mind, like this would have to be something that is collectively bargained in with the Players Association. The Players Association are never going to sign off on this.
Did they have they to are never bargain a shift ban and a pitch clock? I don't know. And that relievers had to pitch
this
to
has
three batters.
This has to do, but this has to do with like potential health of but pitchers.
They
would absolutely have to have this collectively.
It would line up to me with relief pitchers having to come in and pitch to at least three batters.
There's a major difference between that.
Well, I know there is, but in philosophy of like
100 pitches in six innings.
But the rules of collective bargaining is what I mean. Like they can
make
the same case.
This is a player health and safety situation. I don't think this will ever happen. I think it's a terrible idea, first and foremost, but I don't think it will ever happen.
I'm not ready to say it's a terrible idea. I need more insight, and I don't know if it has to be collectively bargained. I would bet you that it does not have to be collectively bargained based on the other changes we've seen, but that's above our pay grades to know what has to be collectively bargained until somebody digs in on it. We'll come back. Hour number two. We'll get you ready for the Royals series specifically. We took a bird's eye look. Let's grind into some of these games specifically and get you ready as well for the preseason game for the Chiefs on Saturday. What do we want to see in the time the starters are there? Those topics and more Sports Daily rolling into hour number two.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.